You're listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast. Last week, journalism.co.uk attended an event held by the International News Safety Institute, which assessed the current situation for women journalists reporting from the dangerous corners of the world, from the physical dangers they encountered to the attitudes directed at them because of their gender. The event, which was held to launch a new publication featuring the accounts of more than 30 journalists, came just 2 weeks after the death of Sunday Times correspondent Marie Colvin, a terrible reminder of the risks all journalists currently reporting from conflict zones face on a daily basis. A key point raised during the event was the serious risks facing local journalists in particular. One of the contributors to the book was Egyptian freelancer Shahira Amin, who resigned from Nile TV, the state broadcaster in the country, during the uprisings last year. She said while journalists continue to face dangers in the country, their voices must not be silenced.
We need to continue to tell the story because there's no other way. If you get intimidated and you stop, you know, the public won't know what exactly is happening. So it's very important, and we need to keep speaking out and saying that we're being intimidated and threatened.
She added that she feels Western journalists are sometimes afforded greater protection than those who both work and live in the affected countries. Finally, I asked her for her thoughts on the event and what it meant to her to be able to come together with other women journalists and discuss these issues.
You know, exchanging ideas and listening to the stories of the women journalists, they're all very, very brave and they've done great work. And of course, I admire them a lot, and I feel that this is like being able to network like this gives you support, and it makes you feel that there are a lot of commonalities, more similarities than differences, and, you know, it gives you the push to go on, I think.
Since the event took place, I spoke to a number of women journalists to compare their experiences and find out what role gender plays in the news industry today, both in the UK and elsewhere.
I think that women have had to fight to get where they are. I think they've had to fight to be taken seriously, especially if they're younger. And I myself think that it is the duty of women like me to make sure that we facilitate the journey of younger women in the industry, yes, of course.
That was Lillian Landor, who is controller of language services for Global News at the BBC. While she said women have had to fight to get where they are today in general terms, at the BBC she feels there is a good representation of women. And women in senior roles, such as she is, who play an important part in paving the way for others, she said.
Here we do have a good, solid and robust representation of women in positions of authority. You know, from Helen Burden down to a number of women that I can give you the names of, and I won't. So this is important, and it does send a message. It sends a message, you know, for, as I said earlier, younger women, but also, say, women, ethnic minority women, for instance, or women who were not brought up in this country. When they are seen to have positions of authority in the BBC, then you can see that, you know, younger journalists look at you and think, well, I can be you in 5 or 10 years from now. And that's exactly what you want them to think, that you can be me. And, you know, wherever you were born, wherever you were educated, you practice a BBC journalism that at some point or other would hopefully get you to where I am. That is important to me.
She added that part of this is also about providing an environment where any journalist, male or female, is able to learn and succeed.
What you try and do if you are a manager or in a position of managerial and editorial responsibility is make sure that women and men are given training. You very carefully watch how your journalists fare, if you can spot potential or if you can spot that someone is doing extremely well but needs that little bit more training on the job or giving certain skills, etc. You do that. You do that and you complement. So making sure that all your journalists have got the same kind of skills so that they are able, you are able to send them and you are able to ask them to do certain things. Otherwise, you'd be left with a pretty unbalanced workforce, I would say.
Similarly to Shahira, Lillianne also referred to a difference in the way Western female journalists are treated when reporting from other countries compared to local women reporters.
This is something that Lise Doucette talks about. Lise Doucette works in the BBC, who again has covered many wars. Lise thinks that Western women journalists, interestingly, who cover wars, are regarded sometimes as a third gender. They're not men, but they're not local women either. They're somewhere in between. And they're given privileges that men are given, but local women aren't. And that is quite an interesting way of looking at it as well.
But a key point she made is that each woman will have a different experience to share.
There are as many experiences of women reporting wars as there are women, if you see what I mean. Each and every woman journalist has her own tale to tell and her own experience. And some women would tell you that there's never been a single instance where there was discrimination in favour or against their presence. And some women would tell you that, you know, exactly the opposite. It's complicated, but ultimately I think that you know, it's about women journalists doing their job, full stop.
Also at the BBC, I spoke to Florentine Quisera, a producer on the BBC World Service Great Lakes section. She explained life as a local reporter working in Burundi, where she reported during the civil war.
My experience was a kind of mixture of excitement and bad experience as well as a woman journalist, because sometimes I was obliged to be left out in covering, for example, conflict in very, very hostile zones, because I was female. My male colleagues would see me as a kind of burden when they were traveling to an area they know it's of high risk. And this was not really good for me. I felt frustrated. But on another side, I was excited to contribute and to take part in this kind of job.
I asked her why she felt there were less women in the local industry at the time. She said local journalists do benefit, though, from having experienced life in the country firsthand.
Maybe he wouldn't feel the same as myself, as someone who's in Burundi, who's a resident of that country, who knows every corner of the country, and who knows how to deal with people, how to control their temper, because she knows very well the community and their behavior, everything. It's really difficult for someone from outside the country who would face the same risks.
There are still calls from others, though, for greater thought to be given to the protection needed by local journalists, as well as foreign correspondents. Sarah Whitehead, who is head of international news at Sky News and took part in the event held by INSEE last week, said the broadcaster gives careful consideration to the training necessary when working with local journalists.
I think that all journalists who are reporting in dangerous and chaotic times within their own countries are the most vulnerable. It's their home. They can't fly out. They can't leave when it gets too tough. They can't decide that it's actually just getting too dangerous. That is where they live, where their families are from, where their homes are. And some of them are some of the bravest people I know. And if you look at the list of people which was displayed on the screen the other night of women who had died in the course of telling the story, I think it's absolutely telling that the majority of those were local journalists. But first of all, they're journalists, because if you look at it cross-gender, it's mostly local journalists who are killed in the line of doing their jobs. And I think that that is a really, really shocking fact, shocking statistic, and something that I think absolutely we should attempt to do something about.
She also outlined the steps Sky News takes to ensure the safety of its journalists as much as possible when they're due to report from dangerous areas, which includes making sure the journalist actually wants to go, despite the risks.
We have a very strict industry kind of benchmark, which is that everybody who goes out into what we would call a hostile environment has done a hostile environment and first aid training course. In addition, we look at the safety kit that people need to take, whether that's medical packs or, you know, they've had their injections. Do they need flat jackets or stab vests or hard hats, or what kind of kit do they need? And we spend money, time and energy making sure that they get the right stuff. In addition to that, we decide whether actually they need to have a security advisor to travel with them to help with security information that might be coming to them, and that we make absolutely sure that that is there is required as an additional person. And most importantly, we look at the people. Who are they? How do they all work together? Do we think that they can do it? Do they have the experience of it? And to me, more than anything, do they want to do it? It's really, really important that people who are going out to incredibly dangerous, arduous, tough assignments like that are the sorts of people who desperately want to be there. And we're incredibly lucky in our business that people feel very passionately about what they're doing and mostly do want to do it. But there have been times where there's been talk about people feeling that they ought to do something, and that is absolutely not the case. I will look people in the eye and say, you want to go, you know what the situation is out there. And mostly people do want to go. But it's very important that people know that they can say no to those kind of very dangerous assignments.
When it comes to women journalists in particular, Sarah also spoke about the frustration of references being made to the fact a journalist is a mother when seen reporting from dangerous areas.
I think it came out quite a lot last year with Alex. I think that there was a surprise that she was a mother of four. But mainly maybe because people didn't know her. And hadn't realised that before, and therefore kind of hadn't thought that, and that wasn't their impression. I hope that by the likes of Alex Crawford and Holly Williams and Katya Adler and various others who are out there who are mothers, that actually it is the norm, and that we don't need to talk about it or refer to it or see them as more extraordinary. Of course it is about them being women. Of course it is about the female gender. And I find it slightly patronising that actually they that there has to be this kind of level of surprise that they would be out there wanting to cover some of the most dramatic and extraordinary stories that are out there. They're journalists, they're correspondents. They want to be where the big stories are. And they should be if that is their choice.
There is more from the INSEE event on journalism.co.uk, as well as a feature by former BBC correspondent Frances Harrison on her experience of being a mother and a foreign correspondent at the same time. You've been listening to a journalism.co.uk podcast.